Tired of losing power? Feeling powerless? Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a free estimate on a whole home standby generator. Never be without power again. Fully installed systems starting at just $99 a month. Power your sump pump, your fridge, your freezer, your garage doors, your heating and cooling, so your home stays safe and comfortable. Four Seasons is the largest and most award-winning Generac dealer in Illinois.
For the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's about so easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Muppet Telethon. We have Muppets standing by to take your calls.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who's coming down? Let's see who's coming down right now, Ruan. So I didn't mean to. Sorry to take your attention away. I don't know who's. Nobody. Okay. Back to Wants. Sorry, Wants. Bear with me for a minute. Let me ask you a question.
Man, these white folks is crazy. I think the CIA is controlling my thoughts.
No, we're not.
Oh, I guess they're not.
Choke on your life!
And now...
What's wrong with the lowest common denominator? That's what this country was built on!
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 10th of April. Stryker sitting back in with us today.
Yes, Kevin.
Love it.
And Allie, thanks for having me back here.
Of course.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Love having you in.
Thanks.
Allie?
Hello.
Dentist, how'd it go?
So, on Thursday night, I bit into a piece of sourdough bread, and the carb gods mocked me, because I'm like, that is some crunchy bread. And then a little while later, I'm like, that feels like a tooth is missing.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, especially since I apparently ate it.
The bread and the tooth simultaneously?
Both?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was just a piece of a tooth, so it was just like a nice little chip.
Did you go to the bathroom in a strainer so you could get it back?
Well, I usually do. I just like to check out my poop, make sure everything's fine
daily.
You
got a series on TLC after that.
No.
Yes. Good Lord.
She goes for gold in the day and the tooth at night.
Oh, that would be nice. What a fun life. So I have a new dentist. And I was able to see him yesterday, and I just needed a nice little crown.
Right.
And it's delightful. But isn't technology just amazing?
How far they've come in dentistry?
Yeah, I never needed crowns or anything before, but from what I understand, it was like a 2-appointment process, if not 3.
Wow.
So now places have the actual equipment right there where they do like a 3D imaging of your tooth. Then they put it in a machine. It makes the crown. Then they put it in a kiln and it fires it up.
It used to be also, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks between appointments.
Yeah,
too.
Insane, right? Yeah. Now it was literally less than 2 hours sitting there.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Like, do whatever you need to do. I'm fine. I got time.
I got more time.
Just catching up on Twitter. It was a good time.
Does your dentist ask you questions when you're in your chair that you want to answer? but his hands are in your mouth and you can never answer. When I go to my dentist, the hygienist, who is incredible, loves K-rock music, but it is 80 questions in a row about Blink-182 and System. Yeah. And when does this happen? I'm like, brruh, 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 brruh.
And it's odd, too, because they know they have their hands in your mouth and that you can't answer.
Right.
It's really weird.
Right.
That that's a thing.
Well, this was a new one, but all he kept asking was, you okay? You fine? Okay, fine.
Shake your head?
Yeah.
Or just
Just an ah. So that was it. So that's a good thing. I did have a dentist before that I didn't know where to look because when they're in your mouth, you don't want to be creepy and stare right at them.
Right, and we talked about that, and I can't even remember what the answer was.
The answer was close your eyes or just look away.
Look away, okay. Yeah. It seems rude, though.
It does.
In a strange way.
But so much less creepy than just staring right into their eyes, like, how you doing in there, in my mouth hole?
I make faces, and it's embarrassing.
You make faces?
I make faces.
On accident?
Yes. When they're in there and they're working,
right.
I'm making the face of you're stabbing my stomach over and over, and they always say, are you okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm good. Why are you making that face then? I'm like, no!
Maybe it's just a scared face.
I'm probably scared. I don't like going there at all.
Who does?
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah. They numb you up just with a regular 10-inch needle?
This dentist, I knew he was the right dentist for me within minutes because he said this, and I quote, you're tiny. You're going to numb up in a second. And I was like, oh, my God.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And he was not wrong. I don't know what kind of numbing shot he did, but within like a minute, I was like, all right, I'm good to go. My mouth was like dragging on the ground. It was absurd.
You're drooling.
Totally.
That happens. You can't help it.
Like usual. Yeah. But all in all, a good time. A little bit of, you know, pain because they shave that little tooth down to a little nub.
Man, that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
The vibration of it, I think, is what drives you crazy.
Yeah, and as he's doing it, he said, and I quote, depending on, you know, if there's an old filling under here, you might get a smell that's rather unpleasant.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, I don't want... And he goes, oh, nope, you're fine. I'm like, okay.
You might get a smell that's rather unpleasant.
Yeah.
Coming from your own mouth.
Coming from your own mouth. If they go into a filling that then had bacteria that they had covered.
Oh, I see.
Disturbing.
I see.
Happy to report, nothing unpleasant coming from the smell.
And you're still tiny.
Thank you, Stranger.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This sucks. This is worse than that crap on TV.
We have Dave Navarro and Billy Morrison coming in. And very excited about that. They've got a charity thing called Above Ground Benefit. What's happening?
Nothing.
What? Dave Navarro?
No. That sucks. Not what I heard.
Oh. This sucks. This is worse than that crap on TV.
Okay.
Wow, sorry.
You were afraid it was a curse word?
She thought it was the F word.
I thought he said the.
Because that's what I would play.
Is really?
But I didn't hear the S at the end because I was too busy
was like
getting
Beavis.
Tense about
that. They don't really say that on that show.
The fucks.
There's a definite S. Sure is.
Sure there is, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
We're also going to do People Are Dumb today.
Uh-huh.
Love that feature. We're going to do Blame It on the Ambien. Stryker has a story about Ambien.
Yep.
Oh.
And I have a story about Ambien.
And neither of you have heard each other's story.
Correct.
Oh, I can't wait to see
I've got a few, so I've narrowed it down to one.
Oh. Mine is the literally the last time I took it.
Okay.
Because of the story.
Yeah.
His like, story is why...
It's crazy.
Okay. Legend. I'm glad I haven't heard it.
His story is why I will never take it. Terrified. Terrified.
But I'm going to save the story, but do you know why I take it?
No, why?
It's so fun! It's the best! Wow. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you why later.
Okay, I didn't have much fun.
But okay.
The Renaissance Fair. Why is that a thing? And it is for another month and a half?
Yes. I love it.
What's happening about that?
My lord,
huzzah!
It is.
Why do they do that? Matt Money Smith is going to join us about the Angels Shohei
Ohtani.
Ohtani, who is a Japanese player that came over, who is actually a pitcher. And a home run hitter.
Correct.
And those two are never in combination with each other.
But not only is he that, the first week of the season, it's like the most successful season of any baseball player of all time. Based on his two jobs that he's doing in the big leagues. That's why it's
Isn't
impressive.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wow. We have Jay Chandrasekhar.
Chandrasekhar?
Worse, right?
Yeah, Chandrasekhar.
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 Yeah.
Okay. I'll get it by then.
Do it in three things. Chandra, like Chandra...
Rhymes.
I don't know anyone. Okay, rhymes. Say.
Say.
Carr. Yes.
Chandrasekhar.
Noodles from The Offspring was just totally annoying me last night. How do you say that guy's name? Say it again for me. I said, I'm probably never going to get it right. But he's from Super Troopers. He's director and plays one of the actors in it.
Yeah.
Super Troopers 2, I should say. And we have passes for weekend 2 of Coachella coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening with Allie.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Coming up just after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about Shohei Ohtani, who is a phenomenon for the Angels. He's crazy.
He did not do that great in spring training.
Right.
People are even saying, maybe he's going to start in AAA. And then the regular season started. We're just like a week and a half, 2 weeks in. The guy has been incredible, Kevin.
This is a guy who is a pitcher.
Yeah.
And, of course, pitchers can't hit
right
in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. He's a home run hitter. So he's
doesn't seem fair.
He struck out a tremendous amount of people in 2 starts, and he hit like 3 home runs so far.
Yes,
at the very beginning of the season,
bombs he's hit.
His first at bat, he hit a 3-run homer. It's insane.
Was it his first bat with
yes.
a homer? Wow.
Yes. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. Right now, Allie is here. What's happening?
I heard excitement.
I know,
your
voice,
but talking about baseball, I don't even know what's happening right now.
Here's the thing: you can watch SportsCenter baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know,
that's enough for you.
It's 1:20.
Okay.
And get the gist.
All right.
I don't have to watch a whole baseball game to get that.
Understood.
Okay.
Understood. Tracy Morgan is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning, right next to the W Hollywood.
Good for him.
Yeah. It's going to happen at 11:30 a.m. if you want to head down there. You're also going to catch Jordan Peele and Martin Lawrence. They're going to be there to help unveil the star as well.
No. No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's happening.
No, 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 it's no, no.
Yes.
No.
Tracy.
Hell no. No.
But
no. I refuse. No.
But it's
no.
It's yours. It's your star.
I remember like 7 years ago, I was in Culver City, and he needed a ride. He didn't have his car, and there were
How do you
Ubers.
Know that?
Huh?
How do you know that?
Because he asked me for a ride. And I'm like, yeah.
Were you just a stranger?
I was not necessarily a stranger. Okay. I was at the Westwood One radio building.
Oh, I see.
And okay. He was too, but he's like, where are you? I can't do an invitation of him, but
if
I
need
could,
to hear it.
I would say, where are you going? That's all.
That's what it was?
And yeah. I'm like, I'm going up Fairfax past the farmer's market. He's like, perfect. That's where I want to go. So I drove him up there, and I took him to a condo. We had a great conversation in the car, and I dropped him off.
That doesn't happen every day.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Huh.
Yeah. He was so nice. I haven't talked to him since. Haven't seen him. Maybe I'll go to the awards today.
I think that would be nice.
Hey, it's me, Tracy.
Remember I gave you that ride that one time?
Pay it back.
It's an interesting life you lead over
right?
there, Stryker. I enjoy it. Wow, Cardi B went through so much just saying she wasn't pregnant. And now her sister is just dropping the sex of the baby on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Whoopsie. But here's why I'm doing the story. Because her sister's name is Hennessy Carolina.
All right.
She wrote a mushy post on Instagram to her big sis saying she's always been, quote, like a second mom to me and knows she'll be the best mommy ever. Unfortunately, she originally urged Cardi to give her all the kisses and hugs, but she has since changed it to give the baby all the kisses and hugs. Man, I bought a blue onesie for Cardi B's baby.
Yeah, right.
And now I'm like, do I return it? But girls can wear blue. Who knows? It is just confusing. But come on, Hennessy Carolina.
It's a great name.
Be better. Be better than that for your sister. This cracked me up because we know that Dave follows some weird pets on Instagram. He follows a lot of
dogs. And a lot of them, yeah.
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 I follow maybe a couple odd Instagrams.
Pets, like, though?
No.
Animals?
Keith Morrison leans on things.
I follow Keith Leans on Things.
Keith
it's
Leans
called.
On Things.
Yes.
It's excellent.
Okay.
It's just the guy from Dateline just leaning.
Just leaning on things. You know the real skinny Keith Morrison with the great voice?
Yeah.
It's just a shot of him in his great jeans and Converse leaning on trees and
okay, but how
buildings.
Interesting can that be after
Very.
You see, let's say you've seen 4 pictures of that.
Yeah.
Then what?
I follow another one. It's called Greg Graffin Points at Things. And it's just pictures of Greg from Bad Religion on stage.
See?
It's funny every damn time.
I think we need to do a whole segment on this because I also follow a thing about Cheetos that look like things. So it's just Cheetos that wind up completely looking like other things.
Yes.
The reason I bring this up, Sophie Turner. We know her Game of Thrones talented, lovely young actress. She has opened up a new Instagram account, Sophie's Sausage Reviews.
It reveals
in her bio that she's passionate about the sauce. Not that kind of sausage.
What's that?
Actual, like, tasty. Well, actual cured meat.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. My bad.
She evaluates different varieties of meat. Mm-hmm. And as of press time for this, there were 20,000 followers. I'm going to check and see how many now. But, I mean, sausage reviews. I could do my own.
Yeah. How many posts would you be able to get out?
Just a blank page. Okay. Thank you for mentioning that, Stryker. Yeah, we need to do a whole segment on weird Instagrams that you follow.
Bizarre accounts you follow. Yes.
Hairless birds that ride roller skates, that sort of thing.
I don't, is that a thing?
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
I think who's got time for that? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What are you doing during the day?
Weird birds that have roller skates. What the hell?
Squirrels that jump on skateboards, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like Stryker is going to be a wealth of knowledge for this topic.
Tuna the Melt Dog.
Oh, is that the one with the jacked up mouth?
Yeah.
Oh, and by jacked up, adorable.
Right.
Apologies.
That's what jacked up usually means. Adorable.
Right. Some birthdays for you. Actress Daisy Ridley, Mandy Moore, David Harbour, Charlie Hunnam, Haley Joel Osment. Hunnam? I just added a different consonant to his name. Hunnan?
I think it's Hunnan.
Chuck. And Q-Tip. That's what's happening.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
Look. I don't like baseball. Any sport where you have to warm up 18 times in the middle of a game?
Right.
A little too slow for me.
Yeah.
But this is a phenomenon, this guy for the Angels. And we got Matt Money Smith on the phone right now. Good morning, Matt.
What's happening, everybody?
What's up, Money?
Hey, what's up, Stryker?
Not much. Matt Money Smith is the one that introduced me musically when I worked in Tucson to Papa Roach.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Seriously. That's the man.
It's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
I wear it on my team jacket, yes.
So I started by saying I don't like baseball, but I do like phenomena, and I do enjoy watching a story like this guy. Tell us about Shohei Ohtani. Is that close?
No, you got to clip that, baby. Clip that one.
How dare you? Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani.
Yes, tell us about him.
It's kind of an interesting story, I think, for most people. He didn't necessarily have to come over this year. He could have waited a year, and bidding would have been open, and the guy could have made hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Tell us where he's from.
For whatever reason, just the way the posting system works and the transfer fee, that a club has to put up, because he is so young. He's only 23. He only had X number of service years in the Japanese league. It was only available, the only availability for him was to get a much smaller contract. I'm talking about a couple million dollars compared to, again, like just a, imagine what this guy, and I'll explain what he's done so far, would get on the open market, even if the open market were right now, were today.
Yeah, true.
What a team would pay him. So it's crazy that he's already here instead of next year.
But why did he end up on the Angels as opposed to any of the other teams?
I think there were really two possibilities. Had to be, and this is one of the reasons why the Dodgers, particularly Clayton Kershaw, was so upset about it, because he flew to L.A., Justin Turner. So it was he and Justin Turner that had a meeting with Ohtani, because he said he was interested in the Dodgers, and they both said it was very clear that he was not signing with them.
Oh, wow.
He wanted to bat a lot, and he could not play a position. So he had to sign with an American League team. And he wanted to be on the West Coast.
Those of you that don't follow baseball, they have different rules in the American and National League, which is bizarre to me. But in the American League, you can put in a designated hitter, so he doesn't have to be in the game. He can just bat, and that's one of his crazy, incredible talents.
You just pitch, you mean?
Both.
Oh, yeah, both, right.
You can pitch.
Pitchers don't hit. Yeah, pitchers don't hit in the American League. So there's what's called the designated hitter that hits in the pitcher spot. So that way, he can hit a few days between starts, and then he can pitch. Now, he doesn't hit when he pitches, because that would just be crazy, because nobody does that, right? So that's just
so far.
Kind of one of the wrinkles. So it was either the Mariners or the Angels were probably the only two teams that had a shot at him. And ultimately, when you credit Billy Epler, the GM, and Mike Socha, and everybody involved, Tim Mead, the media director over there, that convinced him that the Angels were the better fit. And I think that's pretty easy to see. They have Mike Trout. They're in Los Angeles. It just made more sense. And, you know, now with hindsight, you look back on it. Because when he did it, you were like, the Angels, really?
Yeah.
But when you look back on it, yeah, it makes sense. You know, it's the closest spot to state Seattle to Japan. And it's a team that already has a superstar on it. So he felt like there would be a little bit of cushion there for him. He wouldn't be, you know, too big of a deal. He wouldn't be the only thing there.
Right.
Now he certainly, I'm sure, feels like he is because of all this attention.
Tell us what he's done so far.
Well, there's a few things that that my dumb brain can even comprehend, and that is, as it relates to literature, something that is Dickensian, and as it relates to baseball, something that is Ruthian.
Hey,
no one in here got that word.
Hey, I don't understand anything you're saying.
You understand Ruthian, Kevin.
Oh, Ruthian.
I say what he has done.
Oh, Ruthian. Okay, Babe Ruth.
Like Babe yes. Ruth.
Gotcha.
Got it.
That is what he has done. Something that has not been done since Babe Ruth. The greatest player to have ever played baseball.
Which is?
Super fat.
Which is, he has homered in three straight games. He has hit a home run in three straight games.
Wow.
And he has won his first two starts.
And what was his first at-bat like? He probably went down swinging, right? Nerves?
You know, it's funny you ask.
Is it?
Much like George Michael from back in the late 80s and 90s, I have a machine. And I'm going to push this giant button.
Wow.
Something fancy, Allie. Check this out.
That's out toward left center field. Going back on it is Zimmer. At the wall. Goal! Wow. Big fly, Ohtani-san!
So he hits home run the first time he's up.
Come on.
The first time.
That's insane.
First time, yes.
But the second time, he went down on strikes.
But this is the thing. This is the thing, right? Before you get to the second time.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in spring training, he was terrible.
He was horrible, yeah.
And by terrible, I mean like, people were wondering, oh my, what, does he not understand how to hit American pitching? He is swinging and missing by such a great degree that they're going to have to send him to the minors. There's no way he can start. There'll be a wasted spot in the lineup, A. B, his pitching is bad. They're beaten. I mean, he gave up the Tijuana Toreros. He gave up 6 runs in 2 innings.
Ouch.
He was in spring training. So, yeah, why don't you go ahead and play that clip there, Kevin?
Second one.
That's out to the center field. Zimmer racing back, still going back near the ball. Gone! Big fly, Ohtani-san again!
Money, I have a question for you. It's going to be very hard, obviously, for him to keep up this pace, but just the amount of talk that everybody is giving the Angels and this player, I would think if I was in management for the Angels, they have to be behind the scenes going, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, think about it, Stryker. I mean, they've got the best player in baseball.
Mike Trout.
Hands down, bar none, undisputable, Mike Trout is the best player in the game. He has already won 2 MVPs. He's going to win another 3 by the time his career is done.
And or he was going to until Ohtani.
Yeah, right? but for whatever reason, it just hasn't quite moved the needle. Now, there's a bunch of kids down there and you know, Orange County women with beautiful, fake, luscious boobies. And they're fake.
What the hell just happened?
The only word you missed was tasty.
You guys ever go to Angel Game? It's dudes in flat bills that come in from Riverside in their giant pavement princess trucks with Fox stickers in the back window and ladies with big fake boobs.
I love it.
So listen, there's enough of those where they do have some fans, but at the same time, you know, this is like sellout whenever he starts. Who knows, man, borderline sellout whenever he's slotted to be a DH, because they're not going to DH him after he starts or before his start.
Right.
So, you know, there's kind of the, in Japan, they pitch every 6 days. They basically pitch once a week. So the Angels have also accommodated him by bringing in an extra pitcher, and he is going to rotate because they want to make sure he stays healthy. They don't want to overwork him. So most pitchers in the major league start every 5 days. He's going to start every 6, which means he's probably going to have, you know, 3 days to DH, a couple days of rest. I mean, you could be talking about a guy, if this keeps up, and I don't expect it to keep up at this rate, but you could be talking about someone that starts the All-Star game and is, like, batting third.
That's insane. Yeah. Wow. But the third time he got up, though, he went down on strikes.
In his third game, he managed to do this as well.
That's driven out to center field. That's got some foul. Ohtani-san has done it again.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah, 3 straight games. If you bought it, if you were like, I missed it, I'm going to the second game. Yeah, you got it. I guess you got it as well. So he is really something. I mean, it is. And the thing about him is just physically, genetically, how gifted he is. He's big. He's long. He's strong. He's fast. He's probably one of the, I don't know, 10, maybe 20 fastest players in the league at that size, with the ability to throw a freaking ball in the seventh inning after he's already thrown 90 pitches 100 miles an hour.
Right.
And he's hitting the ball, you know, opposite field to the deepest part of the park, you know, to left center, you know, 15 rows deep. I mean, it's just, it is remarkable how freaking good he is.
Well, it's fascinating to watch his story. I'll tell you that. The Angels play tonight against the Texas Rangers, and Matt Moneysmith, you can follow at Moneysmith on Twitter. And the Petros and Money Show, of course, airs weekdays 2 to 6 on AM 570 LA Sports. Matt, thank you very much.
Always good to do it. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
So I called Stryker on Sunday just to ask if he wanted to come, you know, hang out with us. And he said, yeah, can I get back to you? I'm at the Renaissance Fair.
Not what you expected.
No.
Okay.
Really not at all. Now, I know that there's people who love the Renaissance Fair. I don't think I've ever fully gotten it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think I've ever fully understood what the attraction is. Don't hate it. Don't love it. Just why?
Well, first, let me just say this. What if there's anything that I've learned in life, and there's only one thing, and I don't want anyone to take this, but it's for me. If I'm in a, I know I'm in it for the long haul with my lady.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's sometimes there's activities you must do that are not in your wheelhouse.
Okay.
And the Renaissance Festival, although a fun time when I've gone, because now it's three times I've gone. If I was not with her, I probably would not be there saying, hello, my lord, hello, my lady.
Right.
And having beers and throwing knives and swords and
I can get behind
stuff.
The throwing knives and swords.
Yeah. Jousting.
That's not
right?
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you're jousting again. I don't know if you're allowed to stab people there, but you can throw it against a target.
Right.
Which is pretty fun.
Right.
So you go out there, you park on this dirt road, you get off the 210 in Irwindale, and what you see, There's a lot of cleavage going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The men are very good looking with their outfits they're wearing.
Strapping.
With great beards,
right.
Very strapping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there in a pair of Nikes and jeans.
All right.
And I think a Star Wars t-shirt.
So you stand out because you're not playing along.
That's right,
yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then
you walk around,
right?
And you're like, oh, look at the milord. And then guys,
you have to say milord.
If you want, you want to play along.
You can't say, hey man,
right?
You
no,
have to say huzzah.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Or say milady, milord. And then there's so much innuendo going on,
uh-huh.
And double entendres from the staff. And I hope that they never lose that. Mm-hmm. I hope some person doesn't complain, like, he said, throw my balls into a basket. You can't say that. But I love, well, you want to throw your balls, sir, in this basket like they did in the old days at Renaissance? I'm like, no, I got a bad arm. You already look bad to begin with. Why don't you still throw these balls in the basket?
I got a bad arm.
But it's a
How
good
bad
time.
Is your arm?
Yeah, my arm is not good right now. I've got a bad arm.
He's like explaining to the Renaissance students,
yes.
Rotator cuff, 88.
Yeah, seriously.
How do you say that in Renaissance Fair talk?
But the beer was good, the beignets was good, and you go in there with a good attitude. Again, it's not my wheelhouse, but mm-hmm. Katie, my wife, loves it.
I have friends that plan out their outfit for months.
Is that
for the
right?
Renaissance Fair. I have one friend specifically that makes her outfit. Cannot wait to get down there. But Kevin, can I interest you?
Okay.
There are two pub crawls daily.
I mean, all right.
All right.
Good.
There are different themed weekends as well. They've got like a pirate theme. You know, I love pirates, right?
Sure.
Like steampunk themes. There's all different things, but you get there and you become immersed in this world. It's pretty cool.
But do you have to call people my lady and my...
You don't have
whatever.
To, but after one pub crawl, you are. Absolutely.
And I know they have things that you would love, Kevin,
okay.
Like arts and crafts. You love art.
I don't feel like I'm an arts and crafts guy. I wish I was. I wish I had those talents.
How about crepes?
Crepes I love.
Eating,
now you're talking.
Turkey legs.
Turkey legs, sure.
Ribs.
Sure, I mean, that is all my food.
Soup in a bread bowl, because what's better than soup in a bread bowl? Anything's better in a bread bowl.
Okay.
Anything.
They have the tri-tip, and did you already see the Fred Flintstone chicken things that you carry around?
Oh, yeah,
the big old
turkey
legs? They're like 8 pounds of chicken that you're walking around, that the dust is blowing on the skin of the chicken.
Oh, that really sounds great.
And then you're eating that with your beer that gets kicked over while you're doing the archery.
Mm-hmm.
Then you buy another one, and then you drop your giant Fred Flintstone chicken leg into the dirt.
It's good times.
Wow, it sounds fun, Striker, the way you do it.
I mean... let's be honest.
It's fun.
Go for the boobs. Stay for the chicken legs.
And the beer.
And the beer.
I mean,
right?
What's not to like about that?
It is a good date place. I will tell you that. If you're looking for a date, it is fun. It is.
Is it fun because your wife really wanted to go?
Correct.
Or would it have been fun if she didn't want to go?
I'll take it was fun because she wanted to go, and I looked good at the end of the day, and I hope I still do. That's the point.
All right.
Now, she's got to do something I really want to do. And
I see how that works. Is it
call 1-800?
Oh, wow.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. Radio.com. Radio.com.
It's time for People Are Dumb.
People are dumb. They're so stupid. They're so dumb, I can't believe how dumb. Does anyone find it a little ironic that Kevin Ryder is hosting this bit? Yes, people are dumb.
How dare you? The first story today comes from Moses Lake, Washington. A man and a woman pulled up to a convenience store, began filling up, only instead of filling up the car's tank, they had a trash can in the back seat.
Oh, good Lord.
And they were filling it with gas. The woman in the front seat was smoking.
Of course she was.
I mean, come on. I mean, you're pretty much asking for it. Not surprisingly, the car ignited. The man ran away, leaving his girlfriend and a large amount of marijuana in the car's trunk behind. She was taken to the hospital, treated for burns. Cops are still looking for the pumper.
People are dumb. Fill trash cans with gasoline. Oh, you're so dumb. Why did they say that? They're looking for the pumper. Please don't use the word pumper ever again. Yes, people are dumb.
All right, the next story is Parkland, Washington. A man standing in the middle of the intersection waving an AK-47 around.
Oh, jeez.
What the hell? The police showed up. They tell him to drop it. He doesn't. They tase him. Then he drops it. On his way back to the police station, he told them that he'd been contacted by Donald Trump and told to fight the lizard people.
Ugh.
He said to the police, look, yes, I'm on meth. Mm-hmm. But that's just to lose weight. That doesn't make me crazy. The lizard people are real.
Wow.
And they said, no, you're crazy. The lizard people are not real.
Let me get this straight. He was waving this gun around.
Yes.
On meth.
Yes.
And they were just like, drop it.
They tased him.
Okay. Huh.
It seems
there should
like
be a story on Daily Mail about how great those cops were for tasing and not shooting him.
Huh.
Right?
Yeah.
But there isn't.
And he lost weight from being on meth.
Right.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
That's
perfect.
A takeaway.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
People are dumb when they get tased, bro, and get an AK and wave it in the air. But he's right, if you want to lose a ton of weight, just do some meth. And the lizard people are for real. Yes, people are dumb.
I don't think that's the takeaway from that story either, by the way.
I didn't like that lizard sound.
I didn't either. This comes from Phoenix, Arizona. The officers were called to a gas station for possible shoplifting at 6 p.m. Friday. As they arrived, the suspects, 28-year-old Marwan Al-Badi and 29-year-old Sama Houri, took off running. They were running along the side of a building, and they jumped a fence. Despite a sign that says Peoria Police above the fence, it was a secure parking lot, and they had jumped into it running from the police.
People are dumb when they try to shoplift, and then they run away, and they go to a police station parking lot. Don't do that, dumbass.
Yeah, that's pretty good advice on that one. This one is really difficult to believe, and of course, it comes to us from Florida. Fort Pierce, Florida. A Florida woman, 26, was one of two passengers in a car that was swerving in the roadway when it was stopped by Fort Pierce police March 21st. According to the police report, an officer approached the car, smelled marijuana, said, "Hey, I smell a little something coming from your car. I need to search." During the search of the car, the officer found cocaine and marijuana in separate bags inside a purse that this woman was holding. So one bag had marijuana.
Okay.
One bag had cocaine.
Well, you don't want to mix them.
When questioned about the drugs, Posey admitted that the marijuana was hers. Mm-hmm. The cocaine was a different story, though. She literally said this: "I don't know anything about any cocaine. It was a windy day. It must have flown through the window and into my purse." She tried that.
Oh, sweetie.
It flew through the window into the baggie inside her purse.
Wow, that is a gust.
Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy wind.
People are dumb when they claim the wind took a lot of cocaine and put it in their purse. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. That's what I heard from Rick James. I wonder what she blames when she puts it up her nose. Yes, people are dumb.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
Stryker is sitting in with us this week. Nice enough to come in.
Thanks for having me.
Hang out?
Yeah.
Sure. You said that before you came in, I think on Sunday, you said that you were Ambien talking.
I was.
What? Explain that.
Okay, well,
because Ambien's a sleeping drug that does really weird things to people.
It does very weird things to you if you don't follow the rules of taking Ambien, in my opinion. And the rules are, when you take it, within about 10 minutes, you got to turn off your computer.
Okay.
Turn off the TV, turn off the lights, get the phone out of the bed.
Right.
And get in a comfortable position, because it's not mind over matter. You may think you're awake, but then all of a sudden you're sleeping. And if your eyes are open, Dr. Drew could probably explain the medical side, but it's almost like being a blackout drunk. Mm-hmm. So the other night, yes, I was just talking. But more recently, I have a better story of just talking nonsense to my wife. And this is what happened. I took the Ambien because I had to get up super early. It was very late. I haven't been sleeping very much. And I did followed all my rules. But 6 minutes after I took the pill, I realized I forgot to email this guy about something very important
on
the show.
No.
And you know you're on a timer?
Right. So I'm like, I've got this. I feel good. Well, sometime between the time I put my foot out of the bed on the carpet to grabbing the laptop and bringing it back in the bed, I fell asleep.
Oh, what?
So I opened the laptop.
I thought you were
going to
say you fell. You fell asleep.
I fell asleep, but your mind is still, your eyes are open, but you're like, you are somewhere else.
Okay.
So I was doing work on the computer. Oh. I was going crazy. After about 30 minutes on the computer, I start walking around my house with the laptop, and my wife, who was in the other room because she didn't want to go to bed at 9 p.m. that night,
right.
She didn't seem, she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm playing baseball." She's like, "What?" She's like, "I'm playing baseball."
Holding a computer.
She's like, what do you mean you're playing baseball on the computer? She took the computer. I was not playing baseball.
Right. Mm.
I spent 35 minutes on the computer applying to college at the University of Phoenix.
That's pretty strong. Were you accepted?
No!
No, that's ridiculous. How could they not accept you?
Were you trying to play baseball at the University of Phoenix?
I don't know what it was.
Oh, that's magic.
But one of my go-tos when I'm talking, as my wife Katie tells me, is I'm playing baseball, often I talk about, and, okay. I'm on a boat.
Did you play baseball, and are you on a boat?
I enjoy boats, but they're not in my necessarily top 30 things of liking
in life.
So
that's weird that that's the stuff you bring up when you're on Ambien.
Right, yeah, but baseball, I loved playing baseball as a kid, but I don't know why that. I don't know.
That's bizarre.
But I was applying to college.
That's crazy.
Yes.
We're talking about blaming on the Ambien. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. This is Sean Penn when he went on Stephen Colbert.
I'm doing well. You've inherited a little of the Ambien I had to take to get to sleep after a red eye last night. But
so, in other words, you're still a little bit on the Ambien train right now.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, the Ambien train is, I stopped taking Ambien after one time. This is the last time I took it. I couldn't sleep. I have a lot of problems sleeping. So I hadn't slept for 3 or 4 days, and I was like, I really need to take a nap during the day. This is important. I am going to set aside some time. I didn't know all the rules. I didn't know the Ambien rules, Stryker, that you have to put away your phone and all that stuff. So I was eating lunch after I took the Ambien. and I went to take a nap. I take a nap, I fall asleep, and I'm like, this is fantastic. I woke up, and I opened my eyes, and I saw strawberry ice cream on the wall.
Like a murder scene.
Like a murder. It was, and it wasn't just like a tiny dot. It was strawberry ice cream on the wall.
You were painting?
Right. So then I sort of wake up a little bit. I'm trying to figure out, why is there strawberry ice cream on the wall? And I look around the room, and it's on all the walls. Four walls. First of all, how do I have that much ice cream? Second of all, what could I possibly be doing? Like, why would it be on the wall? I can't figure out, was I throwing it? Was I putting a paintbrush in it and paint? What? I don't understand. And then I realized it was on the ceiling as well. Oh, how is that possible? Like, I don't even understand how a drug could do that to me. But that happened, and that's the very last time I took Ambien because of the strawberry ice cream incident.
Oh, God.
It's very scary.
It is.
I mean, you hear stories about people that get up and drive, like sleep drive and go places and stuff like that.
You have to follow those rules.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I had ice cream. You're right. Didn't.
Kevin, I have an idea.
You're right.
At Coachella, we should get in the same room together.
No.
After the night, get in the same bed, and let's play a game. Who can fall, who can stay awake the longest after taking Ambien and film it and see what we do?
Oh, the Ambien challenge, sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
No.
I say yes.
Yes.
But I have friends that fight the Ambien.
That's what they call it. Yeah.
And that was like their fun night out. Like, let's fight the Ambien.
How's that your fun night out?
It's not good.
No,
it's not good.
Now, it doesn't react in everyone that way, but if you've got a story of Ambien made you do it,
please call us.
We're going to take your calls and your texts at 1-800-520-1067.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U Rock.
Let's take one call. It's Veronica in Whittier. Hi, Veronica.
Hello.
What happened with the Ambien and you?
Oh, well, I was on a weekend trip to Santa Barbara, and my girlfriend, we had gone out and drank the night before and woke up, and I had this terrible headache, and she was getting in the shower. She goes, I have some aspirin on the counter. Well, I didn't have my glasses on, and I'm not familiar with the shape of pills, and I took two sleeping pills.
All right, Ambien. Two Ambien, good.
She comes out of the shower literally within like 10 minutes. I was just acting so weird. I was just like, huh? What? And she was like, is wrong with you?
Right.
Come on. We got to go. I'm walking down the stairs, just barely holding on. And the trees were dancing and moving. And I was just like, whoa, isn't it cool the way the trees move here? This is so cool. Then I ordered poached eggs, and they were literally wiggling and dancing. I remember it. There was music in the background, and she's yelling at me the whole time. It's her business trip. What is wrong with you? Like, don't embarrass me, girlfriend. We're going sailing. What's wrong with you? What did you take, goddammit?
And you said it's not my fault the trees are dancing?
Dude, I said, isn't it neat the way the eggs move with the trees and the people? It was just like a Beatles love kind of thing. It was just a trip.
Well, it doesn't sound terrible for you, but it's not necessarily good for her. Hi, Devin.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Devin. Good morning.
I was helping a brother move in Oregon. Saw some Ambien during the move. 60% of me heard the stories, wanted to try it. 40% of me wanted to sleep.
Right.
Took the Ambien, was on the phone saying goodnight to my girlfriend on an air mattress on the phone. Looked over, saw some Keebler elves jumping out of one of them in the movie.
All right.
Lucky.
Yes. That's so good.
Walking to the foot of my bed was an extravagant cookie-making factory. Pumping out Yale fudges. And I was telling the whole, as it was happening, telling everything to my girlfriend. And, next morning we spoke. She told me all about what I said, and that was kind of crazy. And Keebler Elf Factory.
That's funny. That's pretty cool.
That is good, Devin.
That's pretty cool. Yep. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Thank you, Devin. All right. Let's see. Let's go to line five. Let's go to Alexis in Long Beach. Hi.
Hi, good morning. How's
it going? Good morning. We are good. How are you?
Great. Well, my blame it on the Ambien story happened at my best friend's house. We were hanging out, and she was like, hey, do you want to try this whole Ambien thing? It's kind of trippy. And, you know, we're in our 20s. We're like, heck yeah, let's, you know, have some fun. Her boyfriend's there, too.
Uh-oh.
Well, we end up having a threesome with her boyfriend.
I'm sorry.
And I didn't find out until, like, 2 months later.
How does that go unspoken for 2 months?
So I came back over, and she was like, hey, I'm going to hop in the shower. Feel free to join. And me being kind of shy, I was like, oh, no. It's all right. I'll stand outside while we talk. And she said, what are you talking about? We did that last time. And that's how I found out we all had a threesome.
Wow.
I mean, come on. How was it?
Apparently, it was really fun.
Yeah.
I kind of remember bits and pieces, but that Ambien, be careful.
Yeah, be careful indeed. Thank you, Alexis. We appreciate the call. All right, let's go to Rachel in Claremont. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I can't believe I have to follow the threesome story.
All right. I mean, it doesn't get much better or worse than that, depending on what you wanted.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't eat meat. I haven't eaten meat in like 20 years. I took some Ambien, and I woke up in the morning, and there was a literal pile of hot dogs in my microwave.
A pile of hot dogs?
Oh, my.
A
ton of hot dogs. I have no idea. I still don't know. I wouldn't buy hot dogs. I haven't had one since I was like 8, but there they were just sitting in my, I was mad about it at first. I thought, who would do this to me? I'm pretty sure it was me.
Wow.
You went out and you bought the hot dogs.
Were the hot dogs in your house or did you go buy them?
No.
Oh,
no,
my God.
I never buy hot dogs. So I thought maybe I got them from the neighbors, but I didn't really talk to them. I can't imagine that I would go out and buy hot dogs.
Oh, I hope you got them from the neighbors.
Right?
Right? Her neighbors are like, she just rang the doorbell at like 8 for hot dogs.
Right.
She was
and,
off
she,
the
and she asked for 3 dozen. What kind of party is she having? All right.
It was bad. It was really, really weird. So I don't take those anymore.
Yeah, that's my advice as well. Thank you, Rachel, for the call. We appreciate that.
I do love that her initial response was, who would do this to me?
She's super angry.
Hot dogs in my microwave.
They know I don't eat meat. Gary in Fullerton, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. You blame it on the Ambien. What happened?
Yeah, my wife flew to Vegas, and I was going to drive the next morning to meet her in Las Vegas. So I took an Ambien, and apparently I drove over to my mother-in-law's house, knocked on her door, mooned her, and then drove off.
Oh, my God.
And you have no memory of that? That's just from your...
I have no memory, and how I know is she called me in the morning and said, were you drunk last night? And I'm like, no, and I told her the whole story, and she's like, you're such an idiot. Yeah,
wow.
So I drove over there and mooned her.
Did she say pretty sweet ass?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
First, Allie is here with what's happening.
Striker, do you play HQ trivia?
No, I know it, but I don't play it.
Okay. Bean plays it, Chip plays it, I think Dave plays it. If you don't know what it is, it's on your phone, they do it 2 times a day, it's trivia questions, you guess wrong, you're out, you keep guessing right, you get 12 right, you get part of the pot.
And there's like hundreds of thousands of people playing at the same time, simultaneously around
the globe.
So you might win $6.
You
have to split it with everybody.
Yeah,
and you have to get 12 questions right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. They've had different guest hosts doing the game. Jimmy Kimmel did it one time. Well, tomorrow, with the prize pot of $300,000 for the early game, that's noon our time, it's the largest amount of money for the 12-question trivia game, the host will be Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
All right. I'll watch that.
Yeah! He's got that new movie with a talking gorilla or something.
Rampage.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a ton of press for that, including this little stint with HQ Trivia. He's going to be joined by the regular host, Scott Rogowski, just in case there's technical problems.
Make sure everything goes smoothly.
Something goes down. Scott is there to help out. We had Scott join us in New York when we were there for the Grammys. You would think that Bean met one of the Beatles.
That's very true.
It was bizarre.
So excited.
How much he loved him.
So excited.
It was delightful.
I don't play that game because I don't need to be reminded that I'm dumb.
Yeah.
So
that's your reason. Mine, I'm a straight Jeopardy chick.
You feel like you'd be cheating on Alex Trebek?
Cheating on Alex, and no one can have that. I have framed pictures of Alex Trebek in my home.
Do you really? Yeah. With mustache or without mustache?
Both. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
Thank you,
you
asking.
Maybe don't tell anyone that story.
One, he's wearing a Canadian tuxedo. Yeah. All denim. Yeah. Wow.
I have a picture of Larry framed from Bewitched. and it's not even signed.
Which one is Larry?
He was the boss of Darren Stevens.
Why do you have that?
Okay.
Because I really liked him when I watched that show.
How and much could you possibly reruns. Like him?
I like him so much that I got a framed photo of him.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I have a framed photo of Ricky Schroeder from the set of Silver Spoons. It's him and the dad from Silver Spoons sitting on the train.
Yeah.
Right, back to you, Stryker.
Okay.
What else you got?
I have a framed where I do my laundry picture of Gary Coleman.
Oh, that's
yes.
good. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do some people tune out?
Fine, let's moving on. Sorry.
Speaking of Gary Coleman yes. and Different Strokes, did you have a fish named Abraham?
I did not have a black goldfish named Abraham.
Okay.
No. But I used to bag groceries for Charlotte Ray, who played Mrs. Garrett. Now I'll stop. I'll stop talking.
I mean, that's a great story.
Yeah, I used to bag her groceries that one has everything. All the time. All
facts,
the time.
Facts of life. Take the good, you take the bad.
Yeah.
You take them both, mm-hmm. and there you have.
The facts of life.
The facts of life.
The facts of life.
When the world never seems to be living up to your dreams.
I'm stepping out because I don't want to be blamed for anything.
I mean, honestly, you should.
I'm on both Ambien right now.
Listen, Stryker and I have discussed this. We watched a lot of television as little kids.
I still do.
Yeah.
I can recite what's going on in RuPaul's Drag Race, My 600-Pound Life.
What's happening?
The Larry David
Who's got that
show.
Kind of time?
Well, wow. I don't know. I squeeze it in.
Wow.
In between Ambien trips.
Yes.
Good stuff. A show I never watched was... Kate Plus Eight.
I watched that.
Of course you did. With Kate Gosselin, then you might be interested that now she's going to do a dating show called Kate Plus Date.
See? Because it rhymes with eight.
It does. That will be on TLC as well. Here's what just made me go, wait, what? She's been inspired to find the one after daughters Maddie and Kara mentioned that she'd be all alone soon since they're heading off to college. Okay, so the two oldest are heading off to college. She's still got six kids at home. What? Get over yourself, Maddie and Kara. I mean,
that's
really,
odd.
Get over yourself. There are sextuplets at home. They are 13. They've got five more years with mom.
Her best kid is Aiden, by the way. That's my favorite one. If one of them could live with me, I would take Aiden.
If you could have a framed picture on the wall, it would be of Aiden.
Why Aiden?
I just thought his glasses looked very cute. He seemed like a sweet little boy. I would love him to live with me.
What's happening with Stryker?
I don't know.
He went bye-bye.
Sorry.
Okay.
You all right?
Shout out Aiden. I'm all right.
You just shouted out a 13-year-old boy to live with
now
you.
That doesn't sound good.
Well,
I also have a dog who I love. I pet him all the time.
Okay.
What?
I'm not positive.
I don't know what's happening.
What's that correlation?
I don't know.
Should I just move
just
on?
Just act like it didn't happen.
Fleetwood Mac, you're a mess. Lindsey Buckingham is out of Fleetwood Mac. Was he fired? Did he quit? Depends on what story you believe. Variety had the scoop that Lindsey left the band and was being replaced for an upcoming world tour by Neil Finn of Crowded House and former Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers guitarist Mike Campbell. Rolling Stone said that Lindsey was fired because he didn't want to commit to that tour and would rather work on his solo material. But here's the thing. It's got to feel pretty good when you're Lindsey and he's like, yeah, I'm not in the band, but it took two guitarists to replace me. Yeah. That's got to feel pretty good, right?
I think so, sure.
They've had some issues, that band. A little bit of drama.
Have they?
Yeah, he left the band before he came back. He had a relationship with Stevie Nicks. They broke up. If you have never seen the live version of a song called Silver Springs.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Google it now. Watch
Why?
It because they are staring at each other and singing the song to each other. It's a breakup song. It is a rough watch, and it is the most passionate. Just, it's such a beautiful thing that you're seeing on stage, but you could tell they had some awesome sex because they the line like can you tell me was it worth it baby I don't want to know and she's like seething singing this at him and then he's playing the guitar like
just before like, a full-on fight
it is serious it is wow. one of the best live performances I have ever seen but they boy did they bone yeah there's some serious stuff there just saying Silver Springs Google it it's a good time. That what's happening really ran the gamut,
it
didn't
was
it?
Weird,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. All right.
I enjoyed it.
Good.
Should I let myself out or not?
No, you sit tight.
Okay.
You stay. Some birthdays for you: Daisy Ridley, Mandy Moore, David Harbour, Charlie Hunnam, Haley Joel Osment, and Q-Tip. And that's what's happening.
All right, we have your passes for the sold-out weekend two of Coachella. If you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We're going to play a game, and you can win those tickets next.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-R-O-Q. We are counting down to Coachella. It starts this Friday, but we're going to give away tickets for weekend two right now of Coachella, which is April 20 to 22nd with Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to Coachella weekend number two. Oh, yeah. Total Recall, Coachella in the desert. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall.
All right, so this game is you got to name five things in 10 seconds.
Sounds simple.
Got to name five things in 10 seconds. That 10-second thing kills you, though. It's
it
really
is
difficult.
Not simple.
So I tried to write these as... I don't want people to not win, but mm-hmm. it's sort of hard to write that way. So I did my best. Good luck. Hugo is going to start us off in Riverside. Hi, Hugo.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Jamiroquai is... Good, thank you. Here's your question. Jamiroquai is playing Coachella this year. He has recorded his seventh album. His eighth just came out March 31st, a few days ago. Speaking of March, its astrological sign is Aries. In 10 seconds, name five other astrological signs. In 10 seconds, name five other astrological signs. Go.
Gemini, Capricorn, Cancer, Sagittarius. Libra.
Yeah.
Look at that. Got it. Just like that. Well done. All right. You hold on. Why is Stryker the only one clapping? I'm not sure.
I'm very impressed by that. I wouldn't have got that. Impossible.
John in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Here's your question. The Weeknd is the headliner Friday night. His parents migrated to Canada from Ethiopia before he was born. He was raised in Canada. Speaking of Ethiopia, the country is located in Africa. There are 54 countries in Africa. In 10 seconds, not including Ethiopia, name five other countries in Africa. In 10 seconds, not including Ethiopia, name five other countries in Africa. Go.
Egypt, South Africa, Uganda, Rwanda, Botswana.
Holy crap.
He could say anything.
He did that like 4 seconds.
Wait, he's got to repeat them.
No, they were all right.
You got it?
Yeah.
Yes, that was crazy. Well done, John.
Thank you.
Everybody was making fun of me for that question, like no one would get it.
John, good job.
They weren't counting on John. Man. All right, let's go to Cindy in Los Angeles. Hi, Cindy. Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. A Perfect Circle is an American rock group formed in 1999 by guitarist Bill Howerdell and Tool vocalist Maynard James Keenan. Speaking of tools, when you're building a house, you need a crap load of different tools. In 10 seconds, name five tools used by construction workers. In 10 seconds, name five tools used by construction workers. Go.
Okay. A hammer, saw, nails, paint. A drill.
Yes.
One more.
And
I mean, do we give her paint? That doesn't seem like a tool.
Yeah, you need to finish it.
What's the vote on that? So are nails a tool?
Come on.
Nails are
you
a tool.
You use a tool to hammer a nail.
I feel like a nail. Wow, that's
it. I give her paint.
Give it to her?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to give it to you. We're trying to be nice. We want everybody to go in the
sometimes
drawing.
Sometimes if you don't have a hammer, you use the paint to hammer in something.
That's not true at all.
Okay. Just trying to help.
Thank you, Cindy. Hold on. All right, the next one is Gerald in West Covina. Hi, Gerald.
How's it going?
Well, thank you. Are you ready for your question?
Do it.
Beyonce is headlining Saturday night at Coachella. She was born and raised in Houston, Texas. Houston's population of 2.3 million people makes it the fourth largest city in the United States. Your question, name five other American cities with over 1 million people. Name five other American cities with over 1 million people. Go.
All right, New York, Miami, LA, San Francisco, Seattle.
We haven't this Seattle one?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm not sure Miami is either.
Did you say Boise?
No.
Oh,
okay.
His phone cut out twice, too.
His phone cut out twice?
I heard him say L.A., but Seattle's population is only 704,000.
I don't think that's one of them. Sorry. Thank you, Gerald, for the call. All right. Let's see. Let's go to line five. Say good morning to Manny in Canoga Park. Hi, Manny.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Portugal the Man is an American rock band from Alaska, currently living in Portland, Oregon. The band's name is based on the idea of David Bowie's bigger-than-life fame. They wanted a band to have a bigger-than-life feel, but did not want to name it after one of their members. A country is a group of people, they say, and Portugal was the first country that came to mind. Speaking of Europe, Portugal is in the westernmost country in mainland Europe. In 10 seconds, name five other European countries. In 10 seconds, name five other European countries. Go.
Italy, Germany, Spain. Yes. Sweden, Norway.
I think yes and yes.
Yes. You got it.
Nicely done.
That's it.
Well done. All right. Congratulations.
Norway's correct. Netherlands?
I know Netherlands is.
It starts with an N. Let's give it to him.
Okay. We're trying to be
Norway's
nice.
Norway's just right below Sweden.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Would you consider it a Scandinavian country, or you're just kidding?
Okay,
please
good.
Go.
All right, let's go to Janie in Brea. Hi, Janie.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Are you ready for your question?
Yes, I'm nervous.
David Byrne is a Scottish-American musician who was a founding member, principal songwriter, lead singer, and guitarist of the Talking Heads from 1975 all the way through the 80s to 1991. Speaking of music in the 1980s, it was an amazing decade for new wave groups. Name five other new wave groups from the 80s. Name five other new wave groups from the 80s. Go.
John Lennon.
Think of K-Rock bands. Think of the biggest K-Rock bands.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, damn.
No, that was a Cure, Depeche Mode, New Order, Tears for Fears, bands
Smiths.
Like that. Not so much John Lennon.
Damn.
You guys.
I feel bad.
These questions, I don't think I would have gotten one right except that one, and I work at K-Rock, so I know that answer.
I mean, I probably wouldn't have either, but I tried to write them so that they were relatively easy. We have four people that are in the drawing, right?
Yeah.
Four people.
There's one more question, the M&M one.
Yeah, that's
one.
All right. I don't want to get to that one because that one's too hard, I think.
Okay.
I think that was actually too difficult. So let's do a drawing between the four people and see who gets tickets for weekend number two.
The winner is John.
John.
Yeah, yes. John.
Congratulations, John.
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Tickets for next weekend. Thank you, and thanks for playing the game.
Show on K-Rock. Radio.com.
We welcome to the studio Jay Chandrasekhar. Was that close?
It's pretty close. You
pretty
left
close.
Out the R. Chandrasekhar.
Okay.
That's
I
good
felt
enough.
Like that's what I said.
You said Chandrasekhar.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But Kevin.
It was
for
a valiant
you?
Effort.
I heard
for
you
Kevin.
Guys practicing yesterday.
Was not good. If that's what you're saying.
I thought it was better yesterday.
So maybe not less practice is what we need then.
I think that's right.
Let's talk about Super Troopers 2, which is coming out next Friday on 420. You guys came on our show and talked about the Indiegogo.
That's right.
Way back when.
Thank you.
And you were trying to raise $2 million, and you got to that in what amount of time?
26 hours.
26 hours, they got
Unreal.
The full amount. And then you kept going, and you ended up with what budget?
We ended up raising, I think, 4.6 or 4.7.
Were you guys shocked by that? Because I met the original came out in 2001?
2002.
So I assume like you're a little nervous. It's been a long time. It's got this cult status.
Well, when we went to the studio and said, hey, we want to make Super Troopers 2, they said, great, why don't you guys raise the money? And we said, okay. And so
was that?
This was about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And so we looked into like the private financing world, and everyone was like, it's been a while. I don't know. And people were a little slow, and so we decided to crowdfund it.
Was it the exact same fear, which is we don't know that people are still going to be into it?
We don't know if people are still there. That's the real thing. And so when we crowdfunded it, it was like a dice roll, because if people didn't fund it, it was dead. The
right.
Fox would look at it and say, see, nobody wants to see it. That's
right.
why we're not funding it. But, you know, 54,000 people put up their money.
Wow.
I mean,
cool.
Immediately.
It's astonishing.
And then you had to have that thought. Why'd we say $2 million, right?
Kind of, yeah. Kind of, yeah. But, you know, We raised the rest. As soon as that money came in, the financial kind of community looked at it and said, sure, we're in. And then we you know, it took a while, but we raised the rest.
And a lot of people don't know that when Super Troopers came out, it wasn't like bringing in the money that Star Wars brought in. The box office was so low, and it was after the word spread, and it was years after. Now, when you first got box office, were you disappointed? And then how'd you feel when all of a sudden everyone was talking about your movie?
Well, the movie was, we made it for $1 million. It sold to Fox for $3 million.
Ooh.
And then, you know, they made 20 in the theaters. And they called me up on that Friday night. They said, we're a hit. They were thrilled with 20.
All right.
But then on home video, it made 80.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Wow.
Yeah. 80.
Wow.
And they kept it all.
Yeah, I was going to ask if they called
back.
Well,
that's why we didn't just spend that money on it. I mean, believe me, they kept it all.
So they're the ones that knew that there was $80 million worth of people out there that actually bought the movie?
Okay, but look at the way films are greenlit is by the theatrical unit of a studio, right?
Okay.
The home video unit doesn't greenlight anything. They just wait for the theatrical people to give them the movies
right.
they've made.
But so, that doesn't play in?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't
the theatrical people are the ones who have to be impressed by the money coming in. They have to look good by you making them money.
I got you.
Home video, they're like, just go make a home video.
Mm. So we were talking about this movie, and Doug Benson yesterday asked a question, which is a good one, which is, how did this sort of become a stoner movie? Because it's not really a stoner movie,
I mean,
but that's kind of...
You mean the first one?
Yeah, first one, I'm sorry.
Well, the first one is, it does center around a grass smuggling operation.
Right.
But, you know, and the cops do smoke once in it, and
right.
and the stoners in the opening do smoke
in that.
They
eat a lot of it, sure.
But I think the reality is that we are stoners, and we write the structure of these films sober, and we organize the plot and the three-act structure and all that. And then we smoke, and then we write a lot of the jokes, right? And so I think that the vibe of our films makes sense to stoners. Like, the rhythm makes sense to stoners because it was written by stoners.
How often are you just walking with your family and someone yells out, who wants a mustache ride?
Too often.
Right? I can imagine, because you walked in, I wanted to yell at you, and I probably would do that on the street, too.
That's why I don't walk around with a mustache.
That's probably a good idea.
When I want to hide, I just shave my mustache.
Just to protect yourself?
That's right.
You were on The Tonight Show a couple of nights ago, and you were telling us a story about Willie Nelson that I thought was fantastic. Would you mind repeating that for us?
I would love to.
So good.
So... I'm friends with a federal prosecutor, former federal prosecutor, who I'm going to call Steve.
Okay.
Okay. And Steve was a big Willie Nelson fan, and I've made two films with Willie, Dukes of Hazzard and Beer Fest. And Steve was like, I got to meet him.
You directed Dukes of Hazzard.
That's
Everyone
right.
should know that.
I did. I directed Dukes of Hazzard. So Steve said, I got to meet him. So I said, okay. Well, after the Beacon show, the show at the Beacon Theater in New York, we'll go on the bus and we'll say hi to him. So we did. And just as we're getting on the bus, you know, I've known Steve for a long time, and pot doesn't agree with him. You know, some people, when they smoke it, they just spin off, and it just doesn't...
Paranoid.
It doesn't work well with Steve.
They don't enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah.
I said, hey, Steve, you're going to feel pressure to smoke because you're going to be on Willie Nelson's bus. I have smoked this particular batch that he's been smoking, and it's high level, pal.
Yeah.
I said, my recommendation is don't do it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So you literally pull him aside and say, do not smoke
As
on Willie Nelson.
As we're stepping on the bus,
okay.
And he goes, I got it. You're right. I was going to, but I'm not going to.
All right.
We get on the bus. It's a packed party. It's just like it's packed. And so I'm kind of milling around, whatever. And eventually I walk to the back of the bus, and there's Steve standing next to Willie Nelson. And Willie Nelson is holding a joint, and they're, you know, Willie's chatting with him, whatever. And I look at Steve, and I go, I'm just telling you, just don't smoke it because, you know. And
gave him another warning.
Yeah. And like a dragon, a plume of smoke comes out of his mouth and into my face.
And I mean, if you're standing next to Willie Nelson on his bus, and he hands, I mean...
Well, what are you going to do?
What you're going to do.
And I was like, you're on your own, buddy. And, you know, it took very little time. But, like, now I'm talking to Willie and Steve, and we're kind of in this conversation. But it's really just me and Willie talking, because Steve is quiet. And then Steve is green, and I look at him, and his eyes roll back into his head, and he goes down.
No!
Right?
He fainted on the bus.
He fainted. He Now, Steve then says he woke up and looking down at him was me and Willie Nelson. And Willie Nelson goes,
"That's awesome.
Are you all right, man?" And we lift him up. We lift him up. And now it's Steve and I, or Willie and I are looking at Steve. And he leans into me as though Willie's not there and says, "Did I just pass out on Willie Nelson's bus?"
Federal prosecutor. Former right. federal prosecutor.
And Willie's looking at him and I go, "No, man. I want to feel bad." And he faints again.
No.
A second time.
And so my friend and I, we're trying to get him off the bus now.
Was Willie laughing? Or was he aware of it?
He was laughing, but it's sort of a... you don't want a guy dying on the bus.
Well, of course.
I mean, that's just basic,
that is
right?
a good point.
Or pooping. Don't die or poop on a tour bus.
That's right. So I knew to get him off the bus. Willie knew I needed to get him off the bus. Okay. So we're trying to drag him off the bus. He honestly faints three more times. So it's
he comes back to and says,
and he comes
what
back
are we
up
doing?
And he's like, down and up, down and up. We dragged him. His feet were hitting the stairs as we dragged him off the bus. And as soon as we get him off, the bus door slams. I think I heard someone say, "Rock and roll." And then it screeched off. It screeched off, right? And the bus is gone. 10 minutes later, I get a phone call and it's Willie Nelson. He goes, "How's your friend, man?" And I'm like, "He's good. He's alive." He goes, "Oh, all right." And I said, "Willie, I got to tell you something. I probably should have told you, but that was a federal prosecutor." And he goes, "I knew I smelled the narc on him. That's why I brought out my strongest stuff."
No, sir.
Isn't that awesome? That's why
best.
I brought out my strongest stuff. Did he remember meeting Willie Nelson?
Oh, yeah.
He did. Okay.
He remembers everything
he
in
does.
Between the fainting.
Okay, everything except for the fainting.
Yeah.
That's magic.
Jay, I love these stories. And one thing I wanted to ask you while you were here, because I think it's so cool. Your parents are super duper smart, as are you. But when you were going to college and not even studying comedy or acting in school, how in the world and why did you decide to do comedy? What did your folks say? Aren't your parents doctors?
They are doctors. And they were just sort of the opinion that I should pursue what I was passionate about. And
you're lucky.
I was going to become, I am. I was going to become a heart surgeon because of Hawkeye Pierce on MASH.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
And then, an inspiration.
And then I got a C- in organic chemistry.
Oh.
And basically that's either you retake it or whatever. You can't just
change majors.
Can't live in the C-. And my dad's like, "You obviously have no passion for medicine, so don't do it." And
wow.
So I became a history major. And, you know, he took me to see Eddie Murphy when I was 15. And we sat in the back row of the Chicago Theater.
Oh, how cool.
And I remember watching that. It was delirious. And I'm like,
"Oh, wow.
This is a job?" And
you could do this for a living.
I have
That's
that
crazy.
Job now. I'm not Eddie, but, you know. I guess
you do all right.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, Super Troopers 2 comes out next Friday, 4:20. You're having an event, Super Troopers Smokin' Double Feature, which is next Thursday, April 19th at 4:20 p.m., where you can watch both films.
That's right.
And then it comes out next Friday, and you can get tickets for that movie at tickets.stumovie.com. And we'll put up that link so people can find it. Jay, we always love having you in. We're looking forward to the movie. We can't wait.
Thanks. It was fun.
Thanks for coming in.
Okay,
it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
We welcome to the studio Dave Navarro and Billy Morrison.
Yeah.
Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good
yes,
to be
yes.
here, guys.
Thanks
Billy, I saw you. Wait, hold on. Talk.
Hello.
See, that mic is so screwed up.
It's the English accent. It screws a lot of things up.
I don't think so. I don't want it to be screwed up, though. How do we change that?
I can hear
you guys. My microphone?
Oh, well, I want you to be in on it, too, but I just want Billy to be able to... I don't know why that microphone doesn't work, but it just doesn't.
Wait, say something. Hello.
Okay, he's sort of there. Yeah.
Maybe if we take this off.
Now you
can. Oh, there you go.
There I am.
That's a little better.
It's not great, but it works. It works.
I'll watch the mic technique.
Okay.
Thank you for having us. Thank you very much.
No, we're very happy.
Thanks for being here. This is cool. We got rock stars in the studio right now.
Billy, you were tweeting this morning. It's really tough getting up early.
Yeah, I mean, I've done radio and TV before, but, you know, it's definitely an experience. Oh, you've got to get up at 6.
What?
I was up at 5:30 to be here.
Wow. Yeah. And what time do you normally get up?
11?
Yeah.
Look, that's the problem.
10 or 11.
That's the problem with having bands on our show ever.
Yeah.
Is that it's the opposite of their normal schedule.
Yeah.
It's just not the same.
Except we go back to bed when we leave you.
Okay, I see. You're going to go right back to bed.
Oh, yeah.
All right. No, you're going to actually be rehearsing, right?
Yeah.
You're rehearsing with Billy Idol.
Yeah, all day, every day, because we've got a huge tour and packing. The genius decision that Dave and I made, let's do a gig, and we look at a schedule, and there's one day free for all of us. Sure, we can make that work. And
so you picked that one day.
Yeah, so he's going straight to Billy Idol after the gig.
and then I'm going straight to Ink Master.
Oh, okay.
The next day.
All right.
And so, the gig is the Above Ground show that you guys are doing April 16th at the Belasco Theater.
Yeah.
That's the gig you're talking about. You're playing two separate albums. You have a bunch of rock stars coming. Yeah. Tell us about the night, Dave.
Well, we were really looking forward to playing full albums in their entirety, for starters, because we missed the vinyl experience. And we have a cover band called Royal Machines where we play a lot of covers.
Mm-hmm.
But this was something different. We wanted to do something where we played entire albums, two of them, Adam and the Ants, Kings of the Wild Frontier, and the Velvet Underground with Nico. So they're two extremely different records. And we also wanted to promote mental health awareness in the process.
Tell us how you both decided to get involved in this. I mean, we all know the history of...
Look, it just came out of... We speak every day. Obviously, we've been mates for years, and we were just talking about how many people we've lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't even have to name them these days. There's so many people that are public figures and entertainers, but also our friends. You know, when Dave and I talk, first person I ever knew who died of suicide.
Wow.
You know, he was a kid at my school, and... We talked like that, and we've always threatened to play Kings of the Wild Frontier because we love that album. And it just grew out of that. Maybe we can do something cool and fun and really raise some awareness. I've always felt that mental health and depression is something that is still not talked about enough because the vibe is, just get on with it, son.
There's a stigma.
But I feel depressed. Shut up. Get on with it. That's what it's
and
like
I've
in England.
Been, and I've been to way too many funerals this year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you've got a whole stiff upper lip thing happening in England.
What's wrong with my lip?
No, I'm saying that's how it's dealt with. And then here in America, I think more so probably than ever, it's, oh, buck up, man.
Yeah.
You'll be fine, which is so wrong.
We came up with a simple phrase. It's okay to ask for help. And I want people like, you know, Dave is a very public figure. He's on TV, you know, every night. And for someone like Dave to stand up there and go, look, I suffer from depression, and I asked for help. It's not cool. It's actually okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to
achieve. And the real strength is asking for help.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
Absolutely.
So that's the message we want to get across.
We had Chester Bennington, unfortunately, passed away, and we had Talinda in, and she's trying to do the same thing, which is learn the signs of depression, reach out to people if you need to, and try to make it less stigma.
Yeah, I mean, God, I went to Chester's funeral, and that was just... Absolutely gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
And he had sang at Chris Cornell's funeral like a month earlier.
Yeah, it was rough. We all know too many people like that. So I'm really happy that you guys are standing up and actually making this a thing where you're saying, hey, get the help.
Yeah, well, and that's so the right thing. All the proceeds from this are going to go to Music Cares, which has a wing that's dedicated to helping people with mental health issues.
I'll tell you something else that's been interesting. Obviously, we're just guitar players, right? And we're now producing an event, which was never the plan, because we have people to do that. But apparently, this is what we do now.
This is what you do now. So.
But in that initial reach out, you know, every single person that we reached out to, without any questions, said yes. We went to Revolver Gallery, which is the premier Andy Warhol gallery in America, but Dave and I have bought art from this guy, and I couldn't get through the first sentence before he said, whatever you need.
Then
you call Billy Idol and Courtney Love. They're like, absolutely, whatever you need. The feeling has been really nice.
I have some of the art. Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
We need to take a break, but then we'll come right back.
I want to talk about some of the artists that are going to be there.
We're going to talk about some of the artists. It's Above Ground, presented by Dave Navarro and Billy Morrison, Monday, April 16th, the Belasco Theater. We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Dave Navarro is in the studio. Billy Morrison is in the studio. Billy, we changed out your mic. Let's try that one.
How does that
sound? Oh, come on!
It doesn't sound good.
No. It sounds worse.
Oh, no, take it off.
We'll roll with it.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
No. So overmodulated.
Here's what let's do. Can you move over next to Dave so that you can share that microphone? Because I want to be able to hear your voice. This is ridiculous. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, this is actually delightful. How's that?
It's even better.
We are. You guys look good.
We're cute together.
You are.
But I still can't hear you enough.
Luckily, you know all the details.
I'm going to ask Dave a question.
All right.
Non-musicians, when they talk about shows, especially when artists are playing cover songs, we just assume, oh, you must know how to play every song. You guys are doing two full-length albums. How long has it taken you to practice these songs? Is it easy or difficult?
These two albums, Kings of the Wild Frontier and The Velvet Underground with Nico, are so different. And coming from such a different mindset, it has taken us I mean, months.
But I agree with Stryker. To us, it seems like you could do it instantly because you're who you are.
Right.
No.
It took us about 2 months to get him down.
Wow.
And I would go over to Billy's house every weekend. We'd run through a couple of songs.
He's like, again?
Yes.
Well, it's good that Billy's loved it. Not it was, busy.
I'm sorry that mic doesn't work.
Come
I apologize.
Over here.
No, but come over.
But it was a lot of fun, you know, because these albums kind of shaped us as musicians. And to be able to learn and play and just spend time and reacquainting ourselves with these albums, it brought out that joy we used to have as kids.
Sure.
And it's not just you two playing these albums. Name some of the guests that are going to be dipping in and out.
I mean, there's Billy Idol, there's Courtney Love, Corey Taylor from Slipknot, who has one of the greatest singing voices we've ever heard.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Jesse Hughes, we've got, who else we got?
Steve Stevens.
Josh Fries, I mean, you know, it's...
Just Josh Fries, that's all?
Just Josh Fries on his own.
Lily Hayden.
Lily Hayden was fantastic when she said yes. She's the rock and roll violin player.
Oh, right.
You know, she's played Cashmere with Paige and Plant. She's that. And I asked her to do it because you can't do Velvet Underground without viola, violin.
Yeah, the John Cale stuff.
And, I mean, Dave hasn't heard it yet. Lily came around my house and we did a bit of rehearsing and it was making the hair stand up.
Is that right?
It sounds like... Let me back up because the reason this was so difficult to learn is because over the years, you either know your Jane's Addiction songs and your Billy Idol songs off by heart, or you're learning cover songs like, you know, Cat Scratch Fever, Ted Nugent, which is... And it's just power chords. Mm-hmm. Well, these albums, it's clean sounds. It's different guitars. It's different amps. And we were freaking out for quite a while.
This is not
what we do.
Was there a point when you said, not going to be able to do...
10 minutes ago.
there were moments where Billy thought that we couldn't accomplish certain things.
Is that right?
And I was like, yes, we can.
We can figure out a way.
I know that we can, and we have figured them out.
And obviously, these are two seminal, amazing albums, but why these two?
Well, we're both huge Ants fans.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when Adam and the Ants first broke, I was still very much a rock kid. And it was the first time in that new wave era where there was a band that had interesting guitar parts. And so that kind of shifted me into that realm.
Interesting.
And so I played that record over and over and over again because it really just, I couldn't understand it. I wanted to understand it. And it was still kind of pop, but it was really interesting and intricate guitar parts.
Yeah.
And then the Velvet Underground obviously is a huge part of my life and inspired Jane's Addiction on many, many levels.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about asking all of these different artists to help. I assume they are in as soon as they hear about it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, over the years, obviously this covers band that Dave and I have, Royal Machines, that's what we do. We ask people to play with us. So we've got decent Rolodexes, and we both fire texts off. I mean, we text the artist directly because sometimes, as much as we love them, management can get in the way.
Yeah.
And so you just text the artist and say, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this. This is what the cause is. And, you know, even people, God love them, we ask Steven Tyler and Alice Cooper, they're both on the road. Bad time to be doing this because everyone's on the road.
Right.
But it was the only time we could fit. But Tyler and Alice, they were all like, this is great. I wish we could do it. So the response has been really positive.
It's been so amazing, the transformation that has happened in the area of mental health.
Yeah.
And that people are now standing up and saying
When you lose your friends.
Yes.
When Chester and Chris especially, that woke a lot of people up.
Yeah.
And was like,
people too.
Absolutely. Because what we're trying to achieve here is this is something... Drug addiction is a mental health problem. There's many areas of mental health, but when people like that die, it wakes not only the families up, what could we have done more?
Right.
Well, the families need to learn that the response to, I feel weird, I'm depressed, I'm sad, is the appropriate response is not, well, just get on with it. You'll be fine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, especially people in their position and in our position, it looks on the outside like you have everything you need.
It does.
What's the problem?
Right.
And depression is it's a chemical medical issue. And I suffer from it. And I worked with Music Cares when they did the Fleetwood Mac thing in New York.
Did it take you a while to be able to admit that you suffer from depression?
Oh, no.
It didn't?
No. I've been suffering from it for 15 years. And so identify with that loneliness and that isolation. And so for me, doing this event is really kind of giving back and in a way is helping me with my own struggles.
Wow. It's called Above Ground. You guys are going to play the two albums. Dr. Drew's going to be there and he's going to speak.
Yeah, Steve-O's going to do a celebrity auction. And I just actually freaked myself out because they got a bunch of notes. And I looked down, Dave, and I'm like, Billy Duffy, Billy Howardell, Steve Stevens, Jerry Harrison, Jesse Hughes, Josh Fries, Lily Hayden, Marco Peroni, the original guitar player from the Adam and the Ants, out of retirement, coming to play, Mark McGrath. I mean, I freaked myself out.
I mean, you guys are in charge of that. I just don't know. You're in charge of that.
Where are we going to put all these people?
We got...
You know what I mean?
There's a Motel 6 next door. We've got 19 rooms.
And in addition to this, we have suspension artists. We have fire breathing. We have a...
Go-go dancing.
A PG BDSM kind of show going on during Venus and Furs. And a lot of Warhol art to look at. It's going to be... kind of an experiential thing.
It sounds great. It's April 16th. It's called Above Ground. It's at the Belasco Theater in downtown Los Angeles. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster now.
Yes.
For $100 if you'd like to buy those and help raise awareness for mental illness and
100%.
Mental problems. Thank you guys for coming in. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
How great were Billy and Dave?
I could talk to them for another hour.
Right?
So eloquent and smart. And these guys come in and they know what the deal is. Mm-hmm. Don't be duds on the radio. They've got, that's why they're rock stars.
The mic goes on and they're like, boom. Could be duds.
I don't think so either.
No. But what I'm saying is sometimes you see new bands are too cool to be These guys are just like boom, boom, boom. And they've been around the world and they've lived their life. And
they also have an important message that they want to get out there.
Yeah,
so.
Totally.
They were great. All right. We have a pair of passes to the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach this Saturday. If you'd like to get those, you could call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the phone number. Good luck. Allie is here with a final look at what's happening.
Ruben out in the other room. He's the nice one that answers the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He just handed me some breaking news.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Ah, wow. Okay. That just made so much sense.
Scared the hell out of me.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
All right.
Former Silicon Valley star T.J. Miller... arrested Monday night at LaGuardia Airport in New York after allegedly calling in a false bomb threat earlier last month.
What?
He was charged with, quote, intentionally conveying to law enforcement false information about an explosive device on a train traveling to Connecticut. What is happening
with
that
guy? What is wrong with him?
Seriously.
Wow.
That's, he needs some help. I think it's, I don't know if you guys read the story about why he was pretty much not asked back to Silicon Valley.
I didn't.
There's something deep going on with
that's
him.
That's too bad.
That he, people need to come together and help that
guy. The gist of the story, and I'll say allegedly, because I don't know, it had to do with something with his girlfriend and possible abuse maybe?
Oh, no, that's a whole other story.
Oh, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that was a story in college.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And I don't know if that one was true or not, by the way.
In this story that I read, it was the, I believe the creators of the show talking about how they never knew when he showed up to set how wasted he would be.
Oh, no.
And if he would show up to set. So there are some demons happening with this young man, allegedly. And maybe some of his friends could get together and see if they could help. But a bomb threat on a train.
Yeah.
That's
taken pretty seriously.
Yeah,
these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know that. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Right. But whatever frame of mind you're in, you might not be thinking that far ahead. This is interesting. You know the Comedy Central roasts?
Yep.
They're fun.
Yes.
You like them?
Mm-hmm.
We now have the next roast. It has been announced. Another breaking news bulletin.
Yasiel Puig.
It is not Yasiel Puig. Mm. However, he would be wonderful.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
They won't be roasting him. He has passed.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett is not it because it's Boba Fett.
Senor Grande.
Senor Grande. They might call him that. I'm not sure.
Hi, it's Kat.
It is not Kat.
D's Nuts.
It is not D's Nuts, young lady.
The son of Flubber.
Not son of Flubber, no.
Okay.
Turd Ferguson.
Not Turd Ferguson. All great guesses, though, I have to say.
Farrah Abramson.
Nope, not yet. But
Noonan.
It's not Noonan.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel.
No, not Vin Diesel.
It's a great guess, though.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
It is not Leonardo.
Demi Lovato.
Again, wonderful guesses.
Becky with the good hair?
Not Becky with the good hair. She'd be great.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
Count Smokey Love.
Oh, no, I've been waiting for that roast.
Adele Dazeem.
Not Adele Dazeem.
Okay.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
No.
No, Kelly Clarkson.
I wish it was.
Lady Gaga.
Not Lady Gaga.
Pam Anderson?
Nope.
Okay. Be Real.
Not Be Real.
Okay.
Flavor Flav.
No.
The Louisiana Creeper.
It is not.
Charlie Manson.
No.
Bobo.
It is not Bobo. Okay. Do you want me just to tell you?
I mean, yeah, you could have saved us all that time.
This year's Roasty, it is the Comedy Central Roast of Bruce Willis.
Oh.
Yippee-ki roast, mother effers.
Wow. That's
I feel he's too cool to be roasted.
Oh.
He looks great bald. He looks great with hair. He looks great with the toupee.
I wonder if he's got the sense of humor to be roasted.
Yeah, that's a big part of when a roast succeeds. If
taking
you can be
well.
Self-deprecating and take it, I feel like maybe there's been discussion of him not being the greatest on sets, so I don't know how he'll take those barbs.
But having said that, if he knows he's going to this and he knows that that's the part he's supposed to play, I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah, you don't show up to a roast not knowing what a roast is, hopefully.
Yeah. Right.
Although that would be amazing television.
Why are they making fun of me?
He just thinks he's being honored. He goes straight up die hard on everyone. Oh, now I kind of wish that was happening.
Hans, right? Booby, we're roasting you.
I love it all so very much. We briefly mentioned this in the last What's Happening, but musical festival season is upon us, as well as fashion festival season. I just want to read some of the beauty and fashion trends for you two to keep your eyes out for this weekend at Coachella.
I'm sure I'll be wearing most of it, but go
ahead. Absolutely. Scrunchies, which were very big 80s and 90s to keep your hair up in a ponytail. Holographic hair buns.
Holographic hair buns.
I get that at Canner's Deli. It's really good.
You?
Yeah, also
a
great band.
Yes.
Great band.
Pierced hair, which means like metallic rings woven in through braids.
Sure.
Everything will be shimmery this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a comeback of the Velour tracksuit brand.
That's what I'm wearing.
I've seen that happening already.
Yeah, Juicy's
I saw
back.
Bishop Briggs in one of those, and she can rock one.
Right?
Yeah.
Anytime it says Juicy across your ass, you better have an ass, is all I'm saying.
Hers did not have Juicy on it, for the record. I don't know what brand it was.
All right. Here's something for the guys. Hawaiian dad shirts, a la Tom Selleck from his Magnum P.I. days.
I wore one last year. Look at my Instagram.
See? There you go.
I had one last year. I looked exactly like Laces Out guy, Jim Carrey in that movie. The same thing, the black Hawaiian shirt. I'm ahead of the times.
You, as Stryker goes, so goes the
the trends.
Fashion.
Yes. I've said that for years.
That's how it works.
Bucket hats. Remember those? Like LL Cool J bucket hats back in the day?
Never had that.
No? All right. Well, bucket hats are in. And Dave will be thrilled.
Fanny packs.
Fanny packs are back this year.
Knew it.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, never mention fanny packs when you're in England. Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
Never mention fanny packs.
What is that?
Well, here we call fanny your
rump?
Behind region,
mm-hmm.
your butt. In England, it's your lady front.
Oh.
Your hoo-ha. That's your fanny.
Oh.
So if you say, I need to dig something out of my fanny pack, people are like, what are you talking about?
Do you need
about?
Some time by yourself?
Sarah Tiana and I had a whole conversation about this because she learned the hard way as well. You just don't want to do it. I mean, really, the Queen's English, you'd think we would know that.
Yeah, well,
Would we shift it to the butt? Like, why don't we just keep it as the front?
I mean, I don't have the answer to that.
Let's tackle this, guys. Give us a call right now.
No, we're not looking for calls on the fanny pack. No.
All right. Some birthdays for you. We've got Haley Joel Osment, Q-Tip, Charlie Hunnam, David Harbour, Mandy Moore, and Daisy Ridley. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. And your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we've got Ike Barinholtz from Blockers. We've got comedian Whitney Cummings in studio. We've got Ryan Getzloff from the Ducks. Talking playoff hockey, and we've got your tickets for weekend 2 of Coachella as well tomorrow. We'll see you then.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. KU.